Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You are listening to A to Z program. Today we will be discussing the real meanings of taqwa. We are going to define taqwa in a way that is comprehensible for you and all the audiences and listeners. Taqwa is normally thought of being as piety, but a better translation of taqwa would be God consciousness, being wary of God, knowing that you are in God's presence. There's a huge difference when somebody starts to realize that he's in the presence of the Almighty, and that Omnipotent, that Almighty, is looking at one's acts, and he is aware, 100% aware. By saying aware, we're not saying that he knows partially and he does not know partially. No, he knows it completely. He knows your every move to a point that he knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're planning. So, God consciousness, taqwa, knowing that you're in the presence of someone who knows everything about you. That is what taqwa is. That is what God consciousness means. Now, that will lead us into our next discussion on the topic, which is carrying out our duties and wajibat. So taqwa has two parts. One is where we carry out our duties and wajibat, and the other is where we carry out the recommended acts, the mustahabbat. So carrying out our duties, wajibat, and attempting to carry out recommended acts, mustahabbat, is what taqwa requires of us. Okay. Now, refraining from committing the prohibited acts, right, which are called haram in Islam, is part of taqwa. So taqwa has two prongs. One is where we act, and the other is where we refrain, do not act, right? Acting on wajibat and mustahibat is taqwa, and taqwa demands us from refraining from committing haram or the actions that are makruh in Islam. So these two parts, once they are clear in your mind, the ulama of akhlaq, they have said, the scholars of akhlaq, they have said that refraining from haram is superior to carrying out mustahabbat. So a lot of times we have seen in our life that we try to do something that is recommended in Islam, but we end up doing it at the cost of doing a haram act. And what do I mean by that? Let me explain. So let's say somebody stays up all night long reading Quran. A very good act. He is doing an act that is mustahab, that is really liked and recommended in Islam. But if you notice, half an hour before namaz as-subh, or the morning prayers, the fajr prayers, the person sleeps in. Now, the morning prayer was wajib, whereas reading that Quran throughout the night was mustahab only. Okay? So now, if that person ends up committing that mustahab act at the cost of letting go a wajib act, which is letting go a wajib act means committing a haram, then that's an issue in Islam. So that's where, look at the statement again, refraining from haram is superior to carrying out mustahabbat.